I'm dedicating this shiur to the memory of Doris Tark, Olea Hashalom. Today is her yahrzeit. A number of our shiurim this year, most specifically the Parashat HaShavua shiur, was in memory of Doris Tark. She lived in Har Nof, and her daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren lived in Har Nof, Dov and Lizzie Rubin. And she was we knew her well. She was sort of the soft of everybody in our community. An extremely gracious and elegant woman who had gone through the Shoah, and to have survived and rebuilt a family and have moved to Eretz Yisrael. All of these are tremendous, tremendous accomplishments. We can't begin to imagine what an accomplishment that is, just to live a normal life. And then yet to raise children and grandchildren who are studying Torah, that is most probably the greatest and most eloquent response to the Shoah. So we dedicate today, as the first yahrzeit, we dedicate this year in her memory. I was personally in need of something in Yeshayahu that was going to lift my spirits this week, because things were down for a lot of reasons. So we're going to go to chapter Nun Dalet. It's nearly where we were up to. The only thing in the middle was the chapter of the Eved Hashem, the servant of God, that I told you we would yet learn. But the beginning of Nun Dalet, 54, chapter 54. This real beauty in this chapter. The chapter we will also see is a Haftorah, Roni Akora, Lo Yolada. Let's read, and then we're going to see a number of amazing things. This chapter is going to have two of the Haftorot. Both of them are the Haftorot that come between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, and then one of them you will see is also the Haftorah for Parshat Noach. But let's read it first. That's what I meant. Between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, it's one of the seven Haftorot of consolation. So it's Kiteitze, and it is also Parshat Noach, right? Roni Akora Lo Yolada, the Akora that has not given birth. Sing, sing, Roni, sing Akora. Who is the Akora? The Akora, says Rashi, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Akora, the barren woman, because she doesn't have her children. When is she happy? Aim Habanim Semecha. When we say in Hallel, Aim Habanim Semecha, and there Rashi says the mother is Tzion and Yerushalayim, when is she happy? She is happy when her children have returned into her midst. Rani Akora, sing Akora, the barren woman Lo Yolada, who has not given birth, meaning she does not have her children with her. Pitzchi, burst out with Rina with song, the Tzahali, and be happy. Lo Chala, and it's as though she didn't have labor pains. All of a sudden, she has her children back. Lo Chala, without the pains of labor. And you know what the end is going to be? These are the ups and downs, or better said, the downs and ups of the world. Ki Rabim B'nei Shomema, the children of the desolate one. Who was the desolate one? Yerushalayim was the desolate one. And she's going to have more children than Bnei Bu'ula, the sons of the married woman, Amar Hashem, says God. In other words, the ebb and the flow of history. There are those who are down, and then comes the moment when those who are down are up, and then it works the other way around. Yes.
It says here Tamutha was then the wife of a husband, but that means that she's not married?
Ah, we're going to see she is referred to not only as Akara, she is also referred to as Almana. Echa Yashva Vadad Ha'ir Rabati Ha'am Haitaka Almana. She is, in what respect is she referred to as an Almana? Because God's divine presence has removed itself, or God is in concealment. Without God, and we're going to see this metaphor used soon. Because she doesn't have her children, so she is Akara. So she is both. She is Akara, and she is Almana, and there's going to be great joy. She's going to open up in a burst of song. And you know what's going to happen? The Navi says to her, Harchivi Mekom Ahaleich. Broaden the place of your tent. You're going to need many more tents. You're going to need much more place for all of your children who are coming back. V'yiriot mishken otayich, the drapes or the hanging curtains of your dwelling places, you're going to have to add on additional space, additional shelter. Just remember here, of course, also as well, matovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkinotecha Yisrael. Harchivi mekom ohalech, so that people can live there. And yidiot mishkinotayach, the mishkan represents the houses of study, the shuls. Yatu, you have to stretch them out. Al tachsochi, don't be stingy about it, don't withhold. Harichi meitarayach, if you're going to make a tent bigger, then meitarayach are the ropes that are attached to what? To the stakes. Yeteidotayach are the stakes. You're going to have longer rope, you're going to have more space. So harichi meitarayach, make the ropes longer. V'yiteidotayach chazeki, and strengthen your stakes into the ground, because you know what's going to happen? Yomin usmol tifrotzi. You're going to spread out to the right and to the left. V'zareich, and your children, your seed, goyim yidosh, are going to inherit that which is now in the hands of the nations of the world. Now, what the Navi is really talking about now is not the shrinking of Eretz Yisrael, but the expanding of Eretz Yisrael. Stretch it out. Spread out. V'zareich goyim yirash, your children are going to inherit the lands of nations, and you're going to have so many children here that in order to make place for them all, Orim neshamot yoshivu, cities that were desolate are now going to have to be resettled all over again. You're going to have to build all sorts of new cities. They're going to be arei pituach. You're going to have to expand the areas of each of the cities. Incidentally, all of this has been fulfilled in our time, and if we find ourselves in an opposite mode right now, gamzeh Ya'avor, this is also going to pass, because the words of the Navi live forever. Now, I want you to hold cup during the course of the next few psukim, because there's something so beautiful about the structure of the next few psukim. And watch. Al tiri, don't be afraid, ki lo tevoshi, because you will not be ashamed. Va'al tikomi, and don't be embarrassed. Ki lo tachpiri, because you're not going to be put to shame. Okay? Ki boshet alumayich tishkachi, the shame of your youth. Remember, we're talking, she's a woman. An alma is a young girl. Kiboshet alumayich, the shame of your youth, tishkachi, you'll forget. Vecherpat almenutayich, and the embarrassment of your almenutayich, you see, she is now referred to as a widow. Lo tizkiri od, you will not remember again. So now, number one. There are two main words that I used here for shame or embarrassment, and then a third word. There, you'll see. There's teboshi, which is boshet, and then there is kli ma. The difference between boshet and kli ma is the following. Boshet is inner shame. I'm ashamed of myself. I am guilty. I'm ashamed of myself. Kli ma is that which somebody else does to me. He embarrasses me. So I think that's probably in English the best word is for boshet, it's to be ashamed. And klima is somebody to shame, who shames me or who embarrasses me. Boshet is from within, and klima is from without. And there's one step further. The one step further is cherpa. And the word cherpa can also be chet peidesh. Cherpa is when somebody abuses you, somebody curses you. Mecharef, to be mecharef, means to curse somebody. Not only are you being shamed, but you are being cursed. So he says this refers to two periods in Jewish history. There was the period in Jewish history during the period of the Beit HaMikdash, while we were here in Eretz Yisrael. We were not the object of abuse in the world, but we sinned. And it was our own sins that created an inner sense of shame. And then because of our sins, we were sent out into exile. Then we became the object of abuse of the nations of the world. Now watch. When we are sent off into exile, then we become like the almana, the widow. When we were in Eretz Yisrael and we sinned, that was in the early period of our history. To what are we likened? We are likened to an alma, to a young girl. Now, watch the pasuk. Read it. We'll read it again, and we're going to see the next few pasukim are each going to follow these two general ideas. Al tiri, don't be afraid. Ki lo tevoshi, you're no longer going to be ashamed of yourself. You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to do things anymore. You're not going to do any things anymore that are going to cause you shame. Va'al tikoni, you're not going to be abused or embarrassed by anybody else. Ki lo tachpidi, no one is going to curse you. Because what's going to happen is boshet alumayich, the self-produced shame of the early period in your history, tishkachi, that you're going to forget. You know why you're going to forget? Because that was so long ago. V'cherpat al menutayach, and then the abuse that came later on in history when you went on out into exile and you were, when you became an almana without God, lo tizkiri, you will not remember. In other words, that which happened much earlier in history, that you'll forget altogether. That which happened in more recent history, you will not remember anymore. Now watch. Every one of the psukim to follow are all related to this first pasuk. Watch. Ki bo'alayich osayich Hashem tzokot shemo. To the woman who was the almana, bo'alayich, the one who lives with you and who makes you, Hashem Tzvakot Shemo, his name is the God of hosts. I'm going to read the pasuk first, and then on the basis of things that we've told you over the last few months, let's see how we're going to understand this pasuk. The Goaleich and your Redeemer is Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Elokei kol ha'aretz yikarei, he will be called the God of the entire land. Now, here we have, I think, the second pasuk in all of Yeshayahu. What do we have in this pasuk? The two descriptions of God. One as Hashem Tzvakot, the God of hosts. The other as Kadosh Kedosh Yisrael. Ki bo'alayach usayach. Bo'alayach is referring to the husband who has returned to Klal Yisrael. His name is Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. We said that Hashem Tzvakot represents God who wreaks vengeance on the enemies of the Jewish people. Say the jealous husband who is going to bring his wrath out against the nations of the world who have shamed, embarrassed, and cursed you. And the one who redeems you, Kedosh Yisrael, you know what kind of redemption we're talking about over here? We're talking about the redemption from sin. If in the pasuk before we were talking about boshet alumayach, the shame of your youth. What was the shame of your youth? As we said, your sin. What was klimat almanutayach? What was the embarrassment of the later period in life? That which comes from without, from the nations of the world. God is going to deal with both of them. He's going to deal with the nations of the world, the shame and the embarrassment and the abuse that they heaped upon you, because he's Hashem Tzvakot, he is the God of hosts, and therefore he is going to take revenge for all, he's going to avenge all of the ill that the nations of the world did. And in terms of the personal relationship, the embarrassment, the shame of the early years of your history where you forsook God, there he is, Galeich, he is your Redeemer. The ultimate redemption of the Jewish people represents tshuva. Tshuva and Geula are inextricably intertwined. They go together. And you know what happens when both of these will take place? Then Elokei Kol Haaretz Yikarei, God will be the God of the entire earth. Now watch the next prophet. Ki keisha azuva va'atzuvat ruach kera'och Hashem, like a woman who's been forsaken and who's saddened in spirit, depressed, God has called to you, ve'eshes ne'urin ki timo'es omar elokayach. Do you see he's talking again about the two? There is the esh, the isha azuva, Hoiso, she was ki almana, the wife who has been forsaken. And then he also refers to her as Eshet Ne'urim. This is again talking about the same two ideas that were expressed in the first pasuk. There is the wife of one's youth who has betrayed him by serving other gods, has sinned. And then there's the later stage in history at which the Jewish people become the woman who has been forsaken by her husband. But you know what's going to happen now? Ke'isha azuva, like a woman who has been forsaken, is about tzuvat ruach, depressed in spirit, God is going to call to you. Ve'eshet nimu ne'urim, and the wife of one's youth, ki timo'es, who has been rejected, omar lakayach, to you, your God is going to say. Now he's called in the second part of the pasuk, he's called Elokayach, because what was the shame of the youth? Why was she rejected in youth? Because she did not see God as Elokeha, her God. But now she sees God as Elokayach. And then Kiro'och Hashem is to the woman who has been rejected, and out there she's in the exile, and Yudkei Vavkei, the God of great mercy and compassion, is the one who calls unto her. And you know what he's going to say to her? Berega katon azavtich. In terms of history, it will turn out that for but a brief moment I forsook you. Uberachamim gedolim, and with great mercy, akapzeich, I will gather you back in together. Who is Azavtich? The woman who is Azuvav, the one who is Almana. And then with great mercy, Akavtseich. Ah, this is not only the woman, but he's also going to bring all of the children back. And therefore, Roni Akoro, Lo Yoloda, the Akoro who has not, does not have her children, they're going to come back. Beshetzef Ketzef, Histarti Fonai rega mimeich. The shetz of ketzef in a burst of anger. How does the
A little wrath.
A little wrath. Histarfi fanai, I concealed my face, rega mimeich, for but a brief moment. In other words, in comparison or in the perspective of the broader view of history, it will turn out that it was for a brief moment that I concealed myself from you. But it will be an eternal act of kindness that I will. Dichamtich means not only that I will have mercy, but dichamtich also means I love you. Amra says, Goalech Hashem, the one who redeems you, God. He is speaking again to the Histarti Fanai. Who is he referring to in Histarti Fanai, that I concealed my face from you? That's the Almana, the Isha Azuva, the woman who has been abandoned by her husband. Concealed. And then the Chesed Olam Dichamtich is the woman of his youth, who has rejected him, and now with great mercy the Redeemer God is going to bring her back. Kimei Noach Zot Li. Remember, this is the Haftorah for Parashat Noach. Now the fact is that there are two ways to read Kimei. I don't know what the English translation says, but Ki Mei Noach Zotli could be Ki because the waters of Noach. As the waters of Noach, this is to me. Asher Nishbati, that I've taken an oath. Me'avor Mei Noach Od Al Haaretz, I took an oath that they will not pass over the world again. The waters of Noach, I will never bring a Mabul. Kain nishbati, so I swear, miketzof alayich umigor bach. I'm not going to get angry with you, and I'm not going to shout or rebuke you. And each one of them refers to, again to the different situations. Now, there's another way to read Kimei. How else could you understand the word Kimei? Kimei Olam, like the days of Noach. Kimei Olam, like the days of Noach. And there are different mafreshim, but the idea basically is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has took an oath during the days of Noach. And the oath that he took was, and there it is, it's there in Chumash that he says, spring and summer and fall and winter, day and night will never end from upon the face of this earth. The world is going to continue as before. And I'm never going to bring a marble again. And what's going to happen when I get angry and the heavens cloud over? Et kashti natati banan, I have made my rainbow to remind me that I'm not to destroy the world. Ki mei noach zotli, asher nishbati me'avor mei noach od al ha'aretz. Kein nishbati, so I have sworn, miketzof alayich umigor bach. Ki ha'horim yomushu v'hagvaot temutena v'chazdim me'iteich lo yomush u'brit shlomi lo tamut omer merachameich Hashem. The mountains, the difference between harim and gevaot are, harim are big mountains. Gevaot are the hills that are at the foot of mountains. Hehorim Yomushu, the difference between Yomush and Temutena is the following. Yomush always means something that moves or does not move intentionally. For example, Lo Yomush Amud Ha'onon Yomam Ba'amid Ha'esh Laila. The pillar of smoke and the pillar of cloud did not move from the camp. Why doesn't it move? Because intentionally God wants it there. Lo Yomush Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicha V'Hagisa Bo Yomam V'Laila. Don't ever let the Torah be removed from you. You should study it day and night. Never intentionally remove Torah from you. Lahamit or Temuteno always means something that is going to collapse by itself. And I would say that Pasuk was talking about the domino effect. When one thing is brought down intentionally, then there are others that are going to collapse in its wake. Even if Harim Yamushu, even if I will cause the mountains to move from their very place, and then you know what's going to happen as a result? The domino effect, Bahakavaot, the hills to Mutena are going to collapse. Even if that will happen, highly unlikely, but even if something like that will happen, there is one thing that's going to remain absolutely solid and constant throughout history from that point and further. Chazdi me'itoch lo yomush. My kindness will never move from you. Ubrit shlomi lo tamut. The covenant of peace that I have with you will not collapse. In other words, as long as my chesed is with you and I will never intentionally remove it, then of course there will never be the domino effect of Brit Shlomi being removed. Amar says, Merachameich Hashem, the one who loves you, God. We're going to learn another few psukim, and then we're going to go to these sheets that I have over here. We're going to have to take this whole bit as it's all interrelated. Here's another Haftorah. On Niyosara, Marian, what parsha is this? If Rani Akara was Kiteitze, you said?
Kiteitze, right.
And Niyosara?
Re'eh.
Very good. Okay, so we have a Re'eh, the Parashiyot in Dvarim. Now, for Parashat Noach, there are different minhagim. There are those whose minhag, his custom is that they only say Rani Akara until here, and then there are others who say both Rani Akara and Niyosara. Aniyasara, the poor one, Soara, whose heart is in tempest, he is?
Yes, that's
tempestuous. In other words, you know, there are moments at which we feel that we are just, you know, exploding with all sorts of very strong feelings. And Niyosara, the poor one who is in a tempestuous mood, Lo Nuchama, she's still not consoled. I mean, after all of this, Klal Yisrael says to the Rebbe Yisham, not enough. How do you like that? Not enough. Here the Rebbe Yisham has told her that your children are going to return, you're going to have to build new cities, you're going to have to spread out your tents, you're going to have to strengthen the stakes, you're going to have to lengthen the ropes. I mean, all of this, of course, is the metaphor for everything that we have seen bizmanenu anu, and we see it all the time. Every time you see another one of those manos, what do you call them? Cranes? Yeah? Those cranes represent this nebuah. Archivi mekom ohalech v'yetedotayach chazeki meitratayach archivi. It's all that we've seen. This is not something out of something that we may see in Yisrael. We see it all the time. But I remember I said, yeah, it seems like there's a little, more than a little, I take it, sir. More than a little shrinkage over here. My predictions I'll save for another time, but there's no question about it that Yeshayahu says that it's going to change dramatically. I have no doubts about it. she is not consoled. She is not consoled. Why? Why do you think she isn't? At what point is she not yet consoled? Huh? The Rebbeinu has done such great things for her. He tells her, your children are coming back. Or wait a minute. Let's go one step further. That she's not consoled because she remembers all the Agnas Nefesh of history. Sometimes I wonder about that. Of all things, I've been reading lately, in all my spare time, which is a tremendous amount of spare time, I've been reading about the Crusades. I should have read about the Crusades before the Pope came here. The Crusaders were brutal killers and destroyers of Jewish communities all over the world. And when they finally made it to Eretz Yisrael last night, I didn't have nightmares from it. They described the slaughter of the Jewish community of Yerushalayim, Haifa. The Jews defended Haifa for 15 days. They held out the Crusaders, and when they finally made it into the city, they slaughtered men, women, and children. Lourdes, Ramla, so many places. They just destroyed communities all over the world, all in the name of God. That followed, of course, the period in which someone who killed in the name of Allah. And then, that's the way it's been going. You know, huh? Who got whom? The Muslims got them. Yes. Our friends, yes. I tell you, I most probably had many different feelings about this pasuk, Ani Asarah. And now I read one line in the Maldim, and all of a sudden I see Ani Asarah being of the most contemporary significance of all. Yes, 3-4 million Jews have come back. There are 6 million Jews over here. Let me read what the one line that the Malbim writes in parentheses. Ani Asarah, this tempestuous poor one, ki hu adayin lo nuchama, she is not yet consoled. And he writes in parentheses, ha'oretz nitmalami b'nei ha'golah, the land has become full of the children of the Golah, but Sion adayon lo benuya, Sion is not yet fully built. You know what she's going through right now? She's going through the period of the shrinking Eretz Yisrael before her very eyes. And therefore, her spirit is tempestuous within her. After she learned the last, how many psukim was it? There were 10 psukim. The first haftorah was 10 psukim. After the 10 psukim, and she's back, her children are back, and everybody's there. They're spreading out their wings all over Eretz Yisrael. She's saying the tefillah l'shlom ha'medina, reishis tzmichas gulaseinu, and she thinks that this is it. And then all of a sudden, a clap. And therefore, there's a tremendous sa'ara. I think that we have felt this sa'ara over the last few years, and maybe over the last few days even more. An inner, mitpotzitzim, that's one of the best words in Hebrew to describe the feeling. Mitpotzitzim, just ready to explode from a sense of tension, or the feeling that, wait a minute, but you promised, and it's not happening. The direction has changed. So now, you know what happens? There's going to be a second set of promises that is going to be made. And the promise is now, Hine onochi marbitz papuch avonayich v'yisadetich basapidim. This is one of the psukim that when I lived in Chutz Arts, I never understood it. They come to Eretz Yisrael, you know immediately what it means. You have ever seen how they put down balatot? In America, I never saw balatot. I never saw how they put down balatot. What did they put down? They put sand. And in the sand, you put the palatot sort of resting in the sand. You never saw it in Williamsburg or in Brooklyn, all of Brooklyn, right? Now, they didn't have it there, you're right. But now, he says, Hine onochi marbitz papuch avonayich, the flooring, avonayich are your stones that make the floor, marbitz. Marbitz means they're going to lie just like when an animal lies down, rovetz. Where do you have it? Binaodesha Yarbitzani. Mismalatovid, Hashem Roi, God is my shepherd, lo echsar. He causes me to lie down. And the word for lying down is laharbitz. Alright? So you lie the stones down in the sand. Alright? Now, but the sand is not going to be stump sand. The sand is going to be diamonds. And the stones are going to be gems. The yisavetich, your foundations are going to be sapphire. So what is he... What is he telling them? What he's now telling them is not only the... Is he talking about the quantity of the land, but there's going to be a unique quality. Vesamti kad chod shim shol tayich. Now, shim shol tayich, I think the best translation is... What's... Huh?
Ruby.
No, I'm talking about Shim Shotayach. Kad Chod.
Pinnacles?
Windows. Well, what's a Shim Shah? A Shim Shah. The windshield of a car is a Shim Shah. Alright? Rashi says, Yesh Potrin, there are those who say, where does Shim Shah come from? Lashon? Shemesh. From the sun. Chalonot. Windows. No, it's real windows, you know. I don't think we know anymore what windows really are. When you say the word windows, I don't think anybody thinks about those glass things over there. All right?
It says here that the windows that sparkle in the sun.
They sparkle in the sun. All right. And Rashi says, Shachama zorecha behen. The sun shines through, and between the sun and the inside of a house, you make something out of glass. With what he's talking about, stained glass. All right, now, Rashi. Vesamti kavchod shimshotayich. Your windows are going to be made out of kad chod, and we'll see right away what kad chod is. It's a diamond of some sort, a gem, a ruby, we'll see. Usha'orayich, your gates are going to be avnei egdach. Also the name of some kind of precious stone that shines with great brilliance. V'chol gvuleich, your entire boundary of your land is going to be avnei chepetz, desirable stones. In other words, America really wasn't, the streets were not paved in gold, but Eretz Yisrael will be paved in rubies and gems. What are the rubies and gems? V'chol bonayich, l'mudei Hashem, all of your children will be learned of God, v'rav shalom v'noyach, and there will be great peace for your children. B'tzedokot tikonani, you are going to be established through charity and righteousness. Rachikimei oshek, you're going to stay far away from oshek, from theft. In other words, that somebody else, don't be afraid what anybody else will do to you, because throughout history, the nations of the world did two things. They robbed, they looted, and they stole from us. And then they also killed us. So the Pasuk says two things. Rachakim Yoshik, you're going to be far from any kind of robbing and looting. Kilo Tiroi, don't be, nothing to be afraid of. Umi Michitam, Michitam means to be broken and to be crushed physically. Don't worry about that. Kilo Tikrad Elecha, Eloyech, because no enemy is going to come close to you. Now, take your seat. This side first. An absolutely amazing, one of my favorite articles. It's by Rav Dov Shachor, and I, it didn't come out on the page. The Sefer Yeshayahu, let's read this. It's good to know this. It's very good. The Sefer Yeshayahu Muvah Nevuah Al Yerushalayim Ba'achrit HaYamim. In Sefer Yeshayahu, there is a prophecy brought about Yerushalayim at the end of the days. And he says that this prophecy of the gems and rubies with which you are going to be, the flooring is going to be made and the foundations, the Samti Kachot Shim Shotayah. How possible? Al Nevuah Zu Omeret HaGemara, famous Gemara. I don't know if it's so famous, but we're going to make it famous. The Gemara says the following. Omer Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni. You've got to hear this Gemara. The Gemara is amazing, amazing. Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni said, Pligi Trei Malachi Berakia. There are two angels in the heavens that disagree. Gabriel U'Michael. There's a machloket in heaven between Reb Gabriel and Reb Michael. And there are those who say, Trei Amoroi b'ma'arova. Two of the Amoroim, the rabbis of the Amoraic period, b'ma'arova in the west. What is ma'arova? In Talmud, wherever it says ma'arova, it always means Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is to the west of Babel. The Talmud Bavli was written in Babylon, and they always referred to Eretz Yisrael as Ma'arava. When such and such rabbi came from Ma'arava, or when we went to Ma'arava, it's used hundreds of times. And then there are two Amoraim. The period of the Amoraim was the period from the year 200 till the year 500. 300 years was the period of the Amoraim. There was a period of 300-400 years before that, that was the period of the Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shammai, Hillel, until Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, who wrote the Mishnah, and that was in the year 200, from 200 and further, till Ravina and Ravashi in Bavel completed the Talmud Bavli, that's the period of the Amoraim. So you see, the same achloket that's going on in heaven between Gabriel and Michael is going on between two Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Uman, Imun, and who are they? Yehuda, V'chizkiah, V'nei Rabchiah. Rabchiah had two sons, Yehuda, V'chizkiah, and they have the same machloket. Chadom HaShoham, V'chadom HaYoshbei. What's the machloket? The machloket is, what's Kadchod? What gem is it? One said that it is Shoham, and the other said that it's Yoshbei. In the twelve diamonds that were on the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, one of them was Shoham, and one was Yoshbei. They were in one line: Tarshish, Shoham, Yoshbei. Odem Pididov Oreket was one row. I think the last row was Tarshish, Shoham, Yoshbei. Now the machloket between Gabriel and Michael in heaven, and between Yehuda and Chizkiah down here in Eretz Yisrael was, what is Kadchod? Is it Shoham or is it Yoshbei? Amaluhu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the great peacemaker. You're right, and you're right. In Aramaic you say, Kedain, a Kudain. It's like you, and like you. So the Gemara is really saying, Kadchod is... You're right. You're right. And the Rebbetzin is right. And the Balabapa, everybody's right. Now, Gabriel, Michael, Yehuda, Cheskia. All right. Now watch. Shnei Malachi Elyon B'tzvo Malo. There are two. Heaven, what do we shalim? The concern or the difficulty is the stones that are going to be in the wall of Yerushalayim, that are going to be embedded in the wall of Yerushalayim, like Titlavo. One of them says, Hayachod mitzayin et hashoham, v'ilu hashen yet hayoshpe. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yehi kidivrei shneim, let it be like both of them. Omer Rashi b'makom, this is Rashi, on the spot in the Gemara of Bava Basra, kadachod, kidivrei ha'echod, u kidivrei hasheni. So both, really, in Aramaic, and in Hebrew, kat chod means kedivrei this one and kedivrei that one, or kedein or kedein. Lelo safek medrash satum lefanim. There's no doubt about it that we're talking about a medrash that is very concealed, but it's a medrash mole hod. It's a medrash that is full of hod is great beauty. Hametaeret hadriya hanoshit asher enena tofeset. It means the following. Man, it's very difficult for man to see and embrace in his mind all parts of a question. Everybody has his point of view. Literally, a point of view means I can't see it all. There are all sorts of reasons in my background, in my mind, in my feelings, in my thoughts, that cause me to focus and see something from my own particular point of view. Now, it's absolute, complete, total objectivity is very, very rare. One has to be an unusual Gadol Yisrael and a truly holy person to be absolutely objective. We each have our view. By the way, the view that I have can also be objective. But wait. So he says, even when you're talking about holy Amoraim and you're talking about angels, if one angel says Shalom and one says Yoshbe, they have different points of view. The question is, what are these points of view? Each one of the angels sees only one dimension, one side. That dimension that's on his side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one that can see the broad picture and say you and you are both right and both are going to be present? Only the Rebbein Shlomo sees everything. Who is the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo mada she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim asher ra'azein ososim asher ra'chaver? Only the Rebbein Shlomo come along and say that what you see does not contradict what you see, and there is truth in what both of you say. And in time to come, the crown of Yerushalayim is going to have embedded within it. The walls are going to have embedded within it both the Shoham and the Yoshbe. The question is, what do Shoham and Yoshbe represent? When we see this medrash, we have to figure out what's the secret of this medrash. What is behind these stones? The Shoham and the Yoshbe were from the stones of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. The Maharal, the Maharal explains in that Gemara in Bava Basra, he says the following. Yerushalayim eina ir kemo shad ir. You should know that Yerushalayim is not a city like all other cities. Daki ir elukit. It's a divine city. Ulefichach amara katov. That's why the pasuk says ki la'atid, in the future shetiye Yerushalayim la'alata yoter elukit od mimasha hita kodem. In time to come, Yerushalayim is going to be even more divine than it ever was. The proof is how do we know? Because the Navi is telling us that in time to come, precious stones are going to make up the walls of Yerushalayim. Stones that have all sorts of very special qualities. We are talking about stones that are not natural. We are talking about stones that have in them the the miraculous. Raya is there. The proof is the Choshen Mishpat, Sheyehoyo Me'avonim Tovo, Sheyavonim Behem Inyonim Elukim. The Choshen also has gems. Now those gems are not plain gems, there's something divine about them. They're going to send messages to the Kohen Gadol. At moments of crisis, a king would turn to the Kohen Gadol as he wore the Choshen Mishpat. Should I go to war? Shouldn't I go to war? Should I do this? Shouldn't I do that? We're not talking about just plain garden variety gems, we're talking about divine ones. Now the Medrash says, here it's where we come to the Shoham and the Yashbe. The Medrash Rabbah at the end of Parashas Tzava says that the names of the Shvatim, the names of the tribes, Hayuchakukim al Avnei HaChoshen, were engraved on the stones of the Choshen. Al HaShoham Hayuchakuk Shmo Shel Yosef. Yosef was on the Shoham. V'ilu al HaYoshbe Shmo Shel Binyamin. The name of Binyamin was on Yoshbe. Ukvar hedech Rabbein B'chayeh, the Parashas Tzava Rabbeinu B'chayeh. In Parashas Tzava says, Uber takes a kol eden b'gavar ha-miyuchad la, how each one of the stones, and with its unique color, how it represented and so perfectly matched the special talents of each one of the tribes. Matimah l'mahuto shel kol shevet v'shevet. It matches the essential nature of each tribe. Shoham Omer Rabbeinu Bechayeh. Shoham Rabbeinu Bechayeh says, what letters do you have in the word Shoham? Hashem. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who stands up before Paro time and time again and says, Emir Hashem, Be'ezras Hashem, I'm not the one who is going to tell you on my own what all of these dreams are about. But whatever happens, it's going to be Hashem is going to tell you. So he says, Shoham Omer Rabbeinu Bechayi Yesh B'shmoet Otiyot Hashem Al Shem HaPosuk Vayihi Hashem Et Yosef. Hashem was with Yosef. Vayihi Ish Matzliach. And he had great success. Skulata Shel Eben Zu, the unique property of this stone, Latei Chen La'odom Ve'inei Kol Ro'av. Men who's represented by this stone is one that finds favor in the eyes of all who see him. Af ha-maral holeh b'kibun zeh, the maral also goes in this direction. Shekam gavan eben zu, the color of this stone, which is lavan, it's white. V'hu ha-moreh al ha-chesed v'hatov, white represents kindness and goodness. That's Yosef. Yoshbe l'umat zot. Remember, Binyamin is Yosef's brother, real brother. Gavanon Moral Adin. The cover represents the idea of din. Ba'afra Beinu Chai, Ibechaya Doresh Yosh Pei, meaning Yesh Peh. There is a mouth that can speak out. Shechosha Binyamin Machshavos Shonos B'michiras Yosef. Now Yesh Peh means he has a mouth, but he can control it. Binyamin had all sorts of thoughts about what happened to his brother Yosef, who was involved in that sale. And on the next page, he had the power to reveal it to his father, below Gilo, but he never revealed his suspicions and his fears. Gavonim shonimla, this stone, Yoshbe, has all sorts of colors. Red, green, black. Usgulata, and its unique talent is la'atzoret hadam, to hold back the anger of you know, great tension blowing up.
Is this in his credit, Yosef, to Binyamin?
It's of course his credit. It's to his credit that he did not reveal, because it kept the family together. We once said a shir some years ago on the idea that the brothers had taken an oath not to tell the father. The only one, two people were when the oath was taken. Binyamin was not there, and Reuven was not there. And both of them agreed not to reveal to Yaakov what had happened. And there was somebody else who knew. Yitzchak. And Yitzchak didn't tell either. Nobody told Yaakov. because they knew telling would only destroy Yaakov even more, and would have created such a rift in the family that could never be healed. Shnei banim l'Rachel imenu, there are two sons to Rachel. Shnei olamot shonim, they're two different worlds. Yosef, ha-mesamel midat rachamim, Yosef is the one who represents the midah of mercy, ba'olam in the world, u'binyamin ha-dogel b'midat ha-din, and Binyamin, who leads and represents the idea of din. One is mercy and compassion, and the other is law and justice. Because remember, one is white and pure, and the other is all sorts of sharp colors, blacks, reds, greens. Ah, who are the two angels? Who are the two angels in heaven? Michael and Gabriel. Michael and Gabriel are two different worlds. Michael is merciful, compassionate. He's the one who comes to the aid and assistance of Klal Yisrael. Gabriel is the keeper, strong, mighty, powerful. Af Malachi Elyon, Michael and Gabriel, Yazgim Yidot Elu, they represent these ideas. Chazal Lindunu, Shemach, Michael Sar Shamayim, Michael is the Sar of water, Sar HaChesed V'Tov, kindness and goodness. Ki hamayim, because water is chesed la'olam. V'yilu Gavriel, you know what Gavriel is? He is the Tsar of fire. Tsar HaGvurah. Kach Eifo. Therefore, this was machlokas between the two angels, Michael and Gavriel, and the two Amoroim, the Havanat Yerushalayim la'atid la'ol. They wanted to understand what is going to be the character of Yerushalayim in time to come. Eilu ro'im ba'et ira chesed va'rachmin. There are those who are going to, who see Yerushalayim as a city of kindness and mercy. Ve'elu ro'im bo'et ha'din v'et ha'mishpat, and are those who see Yerushalayim as a city of law and justice. Mevayer ha'mahadal, the Maral explains, she'esh bein ha'tzadikim ke'elu ashe nafshom buchana l'chesed. Very fascinating what he says. We have natural bents and inclinations. By tzadikim and gedoli yisrael, there are those whose souls are inclined and bent toward being merciful and being kind. And then there are others who are the fire of law and justice. The kach nechlechu sarei malo. This was the machlokas between sarei malo, Michael and Gavriel. Both mahutam. Michael is the one who tells of the birth of Yitzchak, and Gavriel is the one who's going to destroy Sodom. Michael represents mercy and kindness, and Gavriel is the one who represents justice, fire, on our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And yet, mimini Michael, umismali Gavriel. Yemin is chesed v'rachamim, din and mishpat is mismal. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're both right, and Yerushalayim is going, in time to come, is going to embrace both qualities. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yerushalayim tafkid kafula, Yerushalayim has a double task. Ir ha-chesed l'tzad ir ha-din, it is the city of kindness with the city of din. Kach mitgalel lefanenu bi'ur nosaf l'divrei David HaMelech. Here is another way to understand that, which David said, ki ir shechubro lo yachdov, a city in which what are seeming are going to be brought together. Chesed and Din, Rachamim and Mishpat, Gavriel and Michael, Yehuda and Cheskia. By the way, some years ago we said this year that Yerushalayim always represents a double, Ayin, Einayim, Yad, Yadayim, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is both going to be the city of Chesed and tzedakah and rachamim. It's also going to be the city of din and mishpat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Ir hamechaberet, ir shechub lo yardov," means a city that joins midas hadin and midas harachamim. Yehi kedein uchedein, like this and like that. Kad chalud. One word in Yeshayahu. Let's take a look at the last two paragraphs. Hamalach Michael mitzapeh yachad imanu lirov v'binyan beit hamikdash v'meheru yameinu.
the angel Michael anticipates and looks forward together with us to see the construction of the Beth Hamikdash Meirim Bahar Halabanon Zebet Hamikdash Hashem Malbin Avonotehem Shel Yisrael Har Halabanon. That's the Beth Hamikdash. Why is it called Lebanon? Because it whitens the sins of Yisrael. To whiten, sin is red. Sin is red. That's Yishayahu at the beginning of Yishayahu. And he says, we're going to come to Pesukim later. Im yu chateichem kashanim kashelek yalbinu. If your sins will be red, scarlet, they will become light. Tzupiyah. That means Gavriel, who is Din, looks forward to the reestablishment of the Sanhedrin when law, ki mitzion teitzei Torah u'dvar Hashem mi Yerushalayim. And Michael is the one who sees Yerushalayim as the city of Chesed v'rachamim. Honor our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yehei Chedeinu Chedein, Kad Chod, like this or like that, Shin Iskeda Meheiro B'yameinu, V'yetana Shem Yisbaru, L'tfilatenu, let us be Zeicha, speedily, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu should listen to our prayers, Hashiva Shofteinu Kuvari Shona, Techez, Hashiva Shofteinu Kuvari Shona, we want Din and Mishpat, and V'hashemet HaVodol L'tvir Beitecha, the Chesed and V'dachamim that comes from Avodat HaTfilah. One word, kachol. By the way, we're going to have to see an approach, a second approach that's taken to this by the Malbin himself. But this is, I think, what my most favorite, because the Gemara is fascinating. The way the Gemara makes it, the machlokes between Michael and Gavriel, between Yehuda and Cheskia, the angels above and the Amoraim below. And as the Maharal says, that every person, even the greatest of the great, even Malachim, have a particular point of view. They have a bent and they have an inclination in a specific way. And ultimately, the one who makes peace and Chubro Oyartov brings Gavriel and Michoel together, Yehuda and Cheskia together, is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. I could extend this, of course, in many directions. It may very well be that this also represents some of the other dualities of Yerushalayim, that the name was given both by Avraham Avinu and by Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Shem, Benach. Each one, what is Avraham? Avraham represents Chesed. What is the pillar of Avraham? That's Chesed. What is Malki Tzedek? Malki Tzedek, Malchus. Malchus is always Din and Mishpat, so that the two names of Yerushalayim also flow from the same idea of Chesed v'Rachamim on one side and Din u'Mishpat on the other, Gavriel and Michael. The Michael who tells Sarah, and that's fascinating, the Michael who tells Sarah that she's going to have a child, Roni Akara Lo Yolada, and now what's going to happen is that all of your children are going to be gathered into your midst. That's one. And then on the other hand, it may very well also be that the Din u'Mishpat of Yerushalayim, as the Navi says in Yoel, and the Navi says in Ovadia, that God is going to judge the evil of the world from Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah devar Hashem. Yerushalayim means not only to Klal Yisrael, but justice, the Nishpatati, I'm going to bring them to Emek Yahushafat, and I'm going to judge them here.